This is KTOO's Juno Afternoon, and it's about 20 minutes until the top of the hour. My next guests are here to talk about Wildlife Wednesday. Wildlife biologist Tori Rhodes, welcome to the show. Nice to have you here. And also Irene Morris. She's a volunteer with the Alaska Wildlife Alliance. Irene, nice
to
see you.
It's good to be here.
Before we get going, Irene, can you give us the details for tonight?
Okay, tonight is our last of the season Wildlife Wednesday. We run them from October through March. And so tonight we're having a wonderful program. It's at 7 o'clock at the University Lecture Hall, which is in the library building. We also have refreshments. It's a free lecture, and it's going to be great tonight. So we're hoping everyone will come in.
And how did you find Tori?
Pauline? Well, you know what? Our March lecturer had to cancel. It wasn't her fault. And Tori volunteered to come in, and we're just real excited about her subject. I'm going to let her talk about it because I think it's going to be a very, very interesting. It brings together wildlife and domestic animals, which is interesting thing.
And will you help me with your title some more? You're a wildlife biologist for which department again, Tori?
So I work for Fish and Game, but I work within a small division within the Division of Wildlife Conservation that is specifically focused on threatened, endangered, and diversity species.
Okay.
So a non-game biologist.
And little brown bats, are they under that umbrella?
They are, yes. Little brown bats have recently become fairly infamous since the 2006 discovery of white nose syndrome in that cave in upstate New York. And so it's really decimated a majority of the northeast bat populations, and little brown bat has been particularly hard hit. And since that's one of the bats that we have here, we've put in a lot of resources over the last 10 years or so to learning more about our local bats.
And it sounds like you have a unique way of finding them.
Yeah, because white nose syndrome affects bats during hibernation in the wintertime, knowing where they hibernate or what else they might do in the winter is pretty imperative to be able to monitor their populations. Unfortunately, our bats here in Juneau and elsewhere in the West don't tend to aggregate in caves and mines like they do elsewhere. I don't know if you've heard of, you know, some of the caves out east where there's hundreds of thousands of bats. Our bats don't do that, and so a lot of the research that we've done over the years has been looking at where they might be hibernating, and we're testing out a new method using scent detection dogs in the summer of all times to see if we can figure out where the bats are overwintering.
Got it. And have you found a few? Do you happen to know where they are?
Yeah. We started out on two different ridges, one out Fish Creek, kind of between the boat launch and Eagle Crest, and then another over on Admiralty Island right behind Horse and Colt. And that's where previous work had indicated we had radio tagged some bats and tracked them there in the fall and verified that they were hibernating. And so we searched those two ridgelines near those spots looking at similar habitat, and we found a ton of bat activity. We're up to about 5 additional hibernacula, we suspect. It may be more than that because I have some equipment over on Admiralty that a very sleepy, grumpy bear is preventing me from retrieving quite yet. So hopefully more than 5, but at least 5.
Did you say hibernacula?
Yeah.
Can you define that for us?
Sure.
Wonderful word.
It is. It's great. It's actually, I think, might be applicable to other hibernators as well. But yeah, it's basically the little crevice, or in that case of East Coast bats, a cave or a mine where bats are hibernating.
Hibernacula.
Mm-hmm. The singular is hibernaculum.
Got it. You learned it here on Juno Afternoon. Always learning in public media. Great. And tell us how the dogs fit into finding these hibernacula.
Sure. So scent detection dogs have been used for conservation work more frequently in the last couple of decades. Because of their keen, keen sense of smell, they're able to better detect species, particularly rare or cryptic species. And it has the advantage of often, if you're just looking for animal sign, like scat, which can be very valuable in research, it's a totally non-invasive way to find good samples. And dogs are, of course, much better at finding smelly things than people are. So it was kind of on that premise that we started trying to use dogs here. We have a little bit of a different situation where we're asking the dogs to find something that's not necessarily there. Oftentimes the bats will defecate outside these roosts, and there'll be a little piece of guano for the dogs to hit on, which is about the size of a mouse pellet, so it's quite small. We're asking quite a bit from the dogs. But if we're looking them to hit on bats themselves, unless a bat happened to have died over the winter, there won't necessarily be a bat in that hole, because they are going to these sites during July and August and swarming, and they're there during the night and they're mating and they're checking out all these spots, but they're not there during the day in most of the sites. And so we're surveying, but the animal isn't necessarily there, which has been a little tricky, and it requires a very special dog that can make the jump from not indicating on like the source of the odor, but being able to recognize that you're asking the dog to kind of identify where the odor once was.
What's surprised you most in your research?
The fact that a dog can be walking through the forest at a spot where we don't expect bats and just happen to find a pellet of guano in the middle of all this blueberry brush and everything else, that we were just opportunistically walking along through habitat and the dog would find a little piece of bat guano. And, I mean, it's a couple millimeters in size. It's incredible.
And sorry if you already mentioned this, but is there sort of a common denominator for the actual structure of what they're hibernating in? Are they cracks in trees or rocks or anything like that?
Previously, our sample size was only about 10, and 8 of those 10 were kind of – I hesitate to call them talus slopes, because it's not what you think of when you think of a traditional talus slope. It's more like a steep, moss-covered, small boulder field amongst like old growth forests, basically anywhere you wouldn't want to go through on your hunting trip because you're going to wrench a knee. And so the bats were using kind of these interstitial spaces in between those. But two of the other roosts were root wadi roosts. But we've chosen not to focus on those, because if you want to try to find something in a root wad in the Tongass Forest, you're going to be out there for a really, really long time trying to figure out which particular root wads it might be.
It's the voice of Tori Rhodes, wildlife biologist, who's presenting tonight. Irene, can you give us the details once more, please?
Okay. It's tonight at 7 o'clock at the University Egan building in the lecture hall. So if you go in the library building, it's just downstairs. It's at 7 o'clock. We always have lots of goodies, some brownies and munchies and stuff, and we always have great programs. We would welcome all to come in. This is the last one for the season. We're also, if anyone's looking to be an active member or board member, we're getting ready to put together next year's season. So if anyone's interested in doing that.
All right. And Tori, beyond hearing more about this project, should folks expect some images, or what do you plan to share that tonight?
I have so many videos of dogs and bats that if you like either, you should really, really be there.
All right. Well, Tori and Irene, thank you so much for coming on the show.
I do have one more announcement, if
yes.
you don't mind. Okay. We are the Alaska Wildlife Alliance Estate chapter is coming down on March 19th with a filmmaker who's putting together a film about wolves. It's basically a lot about the buffer zone up in Denali and how wildlife and public lands interact. And so on March 19th, we will be having a program at the Mendenhall Library conference room. There'll be a little trailer of the movie, and afterwards a panel with Representative Andy Josephson and Joel Bennett and Nicole Schmidt, who is the president of the Alaska Wildlife Alliance. So we'll have posters up at the meeting and around town about that.
Got it. And what's the best place to find you online?
Oh, the best place would be our website. Which is, if you put in Alaska Wildlife Alliance.
We'll find it.
Yeah, all of this is on their website. So.
All right. Otherwise, meet them tonight, 7 p.m. at UAS.
Yes.
All right. Thanks, you too.
Thanks so much.
Thanks, Scott. Yeah, this is...